Hello, everybody, and this is Scott Bradley from the website scottbradley.name and brilliantbusinessadvice.com. And today I have a special guest. His name is Tom Trush, and he's a direct response copywriter friend of mine. And he is the founder of Right Way Solutions, which helps entrepreneurs develop lead generation capturing marketing materials. He's also the author of The Reluctant Writer's Guide to Creating Powerful Marketing Materials, 61 Easy Ideas to Attract Prospects and Get More Customers. And he just published his recently new book called The You Effect, How to Transform Ego-Based Marketing into Captivating Messages That Create Customers. Tom, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Scott. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, great. Hey, before we get started, how's that weather out there in Phoenix?
It's a little bit rainy this morning, much needed rain. And, I mean, it's of course, the usual heat's there, but we got to appreciate, you know, us desert dwellers, we got to appreciate whenever it rains. And so it's a happy day in Phoenix.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, here it's a little overcast in California, but, you know, it's kind of like you take the good days with the bad, so I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
So this new book that you wrote, you know, I think we before we jump into it, I'd love for you the opportunity to share a little bit about your story of kind of how you, how long you've been doing the direct response copy stuff for, and maybe give a little bit more background to the listeners that are listening.
Sure, sure. Well, I started my business in 2001, and what I did is I was at the time working at a newswire service, and basically what I was doing, I was an editor and newsroom supervisor, and what we'd get are press releases in the newsroom from different businesses throughout the Southwest, and then have to edit those press releases and then distribute them out to different media points around the world. And back then, it was interesting because when I first got into that industry, everything was kind of new, but after a while, I started noticing some things, and one of those things was the copy that was used in the press releases. One, you know, I there were times where I didn't think it was really good, to be honest, but then there's also those times where people would just call up and they know it, they didn't have good copy, and they said, hey, do you know somebody who could write this copy for me? Because really, I don't want to do it. And that started happening over and over and over again, and so I started at that company in 1999, and by 2001, I'm thinking, man, I want to do something. There's an opportunity there. And
awesome.
So on the side, I just started doing some, writing some copy, and previously to that, I had worked at, interned at a health and fitness publication, and so I had some experience writing, you know, more like newspaper type copy, and I figured, well, you know, it'd be a fairly easy transition, and you know, having all that background with the press releases as well was great. So I just started taking on just clients, like just small projects in 2001, just on the side, and man, it was getting to be a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And started getting introduced more into the direct response stuff as well, and started taking on projects for that. And then, you know, I got to the point with my full-time job, I thought, well, you know, I got to make a jump out of here. You know, and if I'm going to do that, I think I just need to set the date and just go with it and hope things would go well. And so I did. You know, the end of 2004, I said, that's it. I would talk to my wife, said, you know, let's just go for it. And so
awesome.
I did. At the end of 2004, just quit the full-time job. Find out right after that that my wife was pregnant with our daughter. And I was like,
wow, that's awesome.
And so really just put all my effort into it. And, since then, just kind of going on my own and having a great time. I mean, I love this stuff. I love talking about copy. Love talking about marketing. And it's that challenge of getting people to respond to just something that they read on a piece of paper, they read online. I mean, I love that challenge.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I just want to give you total props to really one of the things that I really appreciate hearing entrepreneurs when they tell their story is they kind of come across a need in the marketplace, and that need in the marketplace really drives them to create and do what it is that they do right now, or whether they created a business in the past that they sold, or they became a freelancer because they saw that need there. So just want to give you some serious, you know, kudos for that, because you know, some entrepreneurs or some people that are working do see those opportunities, but very few of them, most of the time, jump at them. So totally, you know, we're talking the same language. So I'm right there with you.
And you
mentioned, you know, you really love talking copy, and obviously in your new book, The You Effect, which I think has been just massively valuable as a copywriter myself, entrepreneur, marketer. I just find the way it was positioned, the way it was structured, the way you deliver your information, it's been very well written, to the point where I think the best thing about the book, and I think the listeners that do go and buy that book will appreciate, is the way you structured the chapters and the way you structured the sections. Where, you know, when someone thinks, oh my God, I got to read a copywriting book on writing copy for my business, most of them are thinking, oh gosh, it's going to be long lists, long chapters, lots to write down. But I think what I appreciated most about your book is each chapter in and of itself is maybe only 2 or 3 pages max. And every chapter gives one valuable takeaway that you can literally read the chapter, put it down, and immediately implement. So we're going to talk about some of those today, and if it's okay, I'd like to bring up one of the first things that I'm sure is on a lot of people's minds that's listening to this, and it's really the debate about long copy versus short copy. You know, how much copy needs to be written in order to get someone to respond, and, you know, I'd really love for you to share some of your thoughts on that, Tom.
Well, I think, you know, that's a controversy that's just going to go on forever. You know, should you have long copy or short copy? And talk to, you know, most copywriters and marketing people, and they're always going to lean on the side of having longer copy. And the reason being that, you know, if you're in a sales situation, whether, you know, like a face-to-face thing, say you're buying a car or something, a salesperson wouldn't limit him or herself to just, you know, saying 100 words to you and hope that you're going to buy that car. And the same thing with copy. I think the problem that a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs run into when they're thinking about long versus short copy is they're looking at the wrong element of their marketing. Because if you have long copy, people will read it. And if people aren't reading it, it's because you're targeting the wrong audience. And that's where I think a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs go wrong, is they think that they can, you know, it's a numbers game. You just got to put out your message to more and more and more people. And that's wasting your marketing budget. You really want to focus your time talking to a select audience. People who have already raised their hand or are interested in what it is that you're offering. And of course, there are ways to find that out. But anybody that's concerned with long versus short copy, they're really looking at the wrong component to their marketing strategy, because, you know, you want to stick with long copy. You want to give as much information as possible to help people make a decision. And, you know, if you're just using short copy, then, you know, you have your hands tied behind your back. So
absolutely.
I would say, you know, use the long copy. Use however much you think is necessary to get people to express additional interest in what you're offering, and focus your attention on those people, the true prospects, not just people, but prospects. And there, I mean, there's a huge difference between the two. Focus on prospects, and you know, don't worry about the copy. Your true prospects are going to want as much information that you put in front of them. And if you're truly concerned about it, look at what you're putting in front of them. It's likely garbage. You know, if you're putting true value in front of people, they're going to read it, no doubt about it. It can be, you know, it can be incredibly long. It can be incredibly short if I have to, but think about value that you're putting in front of those people.
No, I do agree with you, Tom, and it's interesting that you bring that up of you want to create a message that moves people into action. And I remember in the beginning of your book, you really talk about that half of your success is determined on, you know, not only the offer that you're creating, the copy you're writing for that offer, but even more so, your strategy for driving traffic to that offer. And it's an interesting kind of dynamic when you start thinking about, okay, I'm promoting this informational CD product, and then you think about, okay, it's being promoted to this type of audience. Let's say it's a health education CD, and it's being promoted to, you know, the 30 to 45-year-old woman in, you know, middle America. You got to be thinking, you know, your decision's driven from, okay, what would be the best approach in order to speak to that person so that it increases the chances to, you know, convert. And, you know, I'd love for you to kind of expand upon that whole concept that I kind of shortly brought up of, you know, creating that strategy for driving the traffic to your copy with your offers. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Kind of expanding upon what you talked about in your book.
Well, I think it's incredibly important that you do have some kind of, you know, strategy. I mean, and let's be honest, I mean, these days with the Internet, there's so many different ways that you can drive traffic over to an offer, whether it be pay-per-click, you know, banner ads, media buying, all that kind of stuff, even SEO stuff. But the, you know, you kind of have to pick what one is matching your target market, which one that they're likely going to use. And then, you know, once you have that figured out, well, then you have to start speaking those prospects, you got to start speaking their language. Because it's incredibly powerful with your copy. If somebody reads something and it's the way that they've described their problem in their minds, well, then, I mean, geez, the readers feel like you just stepped inside their mind and, you know, you understand where they're at. And I would say in addition to the traffic, that's something that's incredibly important as well. And, you know, one of my favorite tools for doing that is Amazon. I mean, I love Amazon for doing market research because you can take any audience that you want to attract, put in a keyword related to a problem that they have, and then you start looking at books, and, you know, especially books that have been reviewed quite a bit or that are extremely popular. And start looking at the reviews. See what problems those people have brought up that have been solved as a result of that book. And then you can see how they're explaining those problems, and you'll start noticing trends. And, you know, another thing on Amazon is you have the opportunity to look inside books, and you can look at the table of contents. So if you just do a search on a topic within your industry, see what books come up, start looking at the table of contents, and you got to think from an author and a publisher's perspective, they're going to put things in those table of contents that they know are going to attract attention, that they know are driving, for lack of a better word, action points for their audience. And you could take that information, those problems that new prospects have, and you can start incorporating them into your marketing, because if there's a book that's been well-read, that's been well-reviewed, you know that's touching a nerve with your audience. And you can take a lot of those same ideas and apply it to your marketing.
No, absolutely. That's actually, it's funny you bring up that topic because I do like to do that as well where, you know, whether it's in the health niche or the make money niche or the business building niche, it's like, it's amazing at how people write literal books for their reviews. And it's like they say, I really love this book because it really gave this, this, and this, but I really wish it expanded upon this topic a little bit more. It was very light. I mean, it's like, that's as coming out as plain as day what the person did not get from the book that they were hoping to get. And it's like knowing that you're looking at that same book in that niche, it's massive opportunity for you to capitalize on for absolutely free. And, you know, you also mentioned, you know, you got these publishers who are spending millions and millions of dollars. It's like you get to profit from their millions of dollars for literally just your time spending looking through all these reviews. Which I think is brilliant.
Exactly.
You know, one of the other things I wanted to bring up is, you know, aside from Amazon, where else do you like to look, if there is another place? If there's not, that's fine. I just wanted to ask, you know, where else do you find that you can see what your market is also talking about and their pain points, and where are the other sources that you look at?
Well, I think, you know, one of the, you know, a great one is, you know, well, one thing, you should be building a list for your target marketing. And
absolutely.
You know, if you don't have a list and you're not consistently developing a list, adding new people, then you're missing a huge opportunity. Because once you have that list, you can start asking those people, you know, what are the problems you're having? And, you know, they're going to tell you, and then you create solutions around those specific problems. I mean, gosh, how easy is that? I mean, you have people telling you exactly what they want, and then all you have to do is provide it. I mean, geez. I mean, it's great.
I know. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's number one. If you're not doing it, start doing that. But then also, of course, you know, Google has lots of its, you know, lots of ways where, you know, you can start looking in forums. You can start looking at other blogs and seeing what people are commenting on blogs. You know, look at posts and seeing what's getting, what are some popular posts and that are getting a lot of activity. ask.com is another one where you can put in keywords, and you can see questions that have been entered into search engines. Keyword word tracker tool, put in a keyword, and they'll give you all these questions, again, that have been put into search engines. I mean, there's lots of tools out there. I tend to focus a lot of time on Amazon just because there's just so much information on there.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, there are many, many other tools that you can use.
Absolutely. Well, God, this is a great interview already. I love all the value that we've shared so far. Now, let's talk headlines. I actually was reviewing kind of some of the sections in your book this morning, and you were talking about the genie writing, headline writing technique. I'd really love for you to kind of expand upon that and kind of share with the listeners, how do you come up with great headlines, and how should you be thinking about, and kind of what's that thought process you should go through as you come up with that headline? And I really just love the way you kind of position this genie technique. So could you expand upon that, Tom?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing, all marketing pieces, all ads need to have a headline. And that's something, I bring it up because it's something that I see missing all the time.
I mean, I agree.
And the, especially ads from, major corporations, not even major corporations, I mean, all the time, you just look through a newspaper and you'll see that a headline, the space where a headline should be will be some big company name or a big logo. And, you got to realize a company name, a logo, unless you're like the big boys in the industry where you have an unlimited budget, and so you're going to get that name recognition. The reality is, a name or a logo, I mean, it has no effect on your prospect's buying decision. So don't waste that valuable real estate on your marketing piece.
Absolutely.
With that information. I mean, that should be minimal in a market piece, if any. And so you definitely need to have a headline. The whole genie idea is that think about your target prospect. And if that person was sitting in front of you, and you're essentially a genie, and you said, well, I'll grant you one wish, and, that would help address a problem, solve a problem that you have, what would that wish be? And you take that information and you could turn that into a headline. I think the problem that a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs run into is they're so focused on what they want to tell their audience that they think they need, and you really need to switch that over and think about from your prospects, what do they need? What is that problem that you can solve? And then get that information into your headline, because the reality is, you really, if we go back to the audience, and you have to think about just your prospects, a select few people, a smaller audience, not this yep. large audience, and the select audience that you have with prospects, they're going to have similar problems, they're going to explain those problems the same way. And if you can put that information into a headline, again, it goes back to, it's like you stepped into their mind, and you've proved to them that you understand what feelings that they're having. So you've got their interest, you've piqued their curiosity, they're going to keep going deeper into your copy. And that's really the only job of the headline, is to get your reader to either a subhead or to the first line into your marketing copy.
Absolutely. And, it's really interesting how you bring up that point of, you got to write to the market, and you can't just think, I'm going to push out all of this information that I think that they need and they want, because it's like then you come down to the brass tacks of, is this converting or is this not converting, and you're going to spend a ton of money just learning that, putting language out that way is not converting. So, they're speaking to that. There's another thing that you talk about in your book specifically of, a lot of entrepreneurs hesitate to give away too much information that's supposedly going to help them, with the fear that if they give away too much information, it's the prospect's going to immediately want to solve their problem on their own and not come and work with them or buy the product to solve that problem. And, I'd really love for you to kind of expand upon, that flawed thinking, and kind of really from your experience in working with clients and just for yourself, how that's totally just a complete myth.
Yeah, oh, geez, Scott, I'm so glad you brought that up, because It's something that I run into with almost everybody I work with. They're just afraid to give out valuable information, but that's the way that you create credibility and trust with your prospects, because so many other businesses, the vast majority of businesses out there, are pushing out what I call ego-based marketing, where it's all about them. It's these big logos, big company name. We're the greatest ever, and, you know, come look at us. We want to do business with you. If you want to work with us, you need somebody that's on your side and that's going to work with you. And, I mean, those kind of messages, everybody's saying the same thing. But when you mm-hmm. can switch that over and share your knowledge, give away your best information, that immediately is going to make you stand out. It's immediately going to attract attention. Even better, what that's going to do is it's going to attract more prospects, because your own prospects, your own clients, customers, they're going to start sharing your marketing pieces. And then you get in front of an audience that it costs you nothing to get in front of, because your information is so valuable that people want to share. Because if people get information, they glean information that helps solve a problem, what do they want to do with it? You know, they want to share it. They want to tell other people. And if somebody that they know has a similar problem, well, then they're going to share that information, say, hey, look, I just had my problem solved. Hey, check this out. And so, you know, I think it's just critical to not hesitate. Think about those pressing problems your prospects have, and then share your knowledge. Give away your best stuff. And, you know, it leads into one tip that if I could stress, you know, one point in this whole interview, is you have to think about your marketing. The best marketing does not look like marketing. You know, yes. You know, because we're just so, we get bombarded with marketing messages every day, and most of it gets ignored. If you take the approach that you want your marketing not to look like marketing, to look like basically you're sharing information, whether that be in an article, a blog post, a video, whatever it is, and you're just giving away good, valuable stuff, you're going to go underneath your prospect's radar. So you're going to say, well, this isn't really a sales message. You know, so I want to see this. I think if you could take that to any marketing piece you're putting together, any ad, and think about how can I make this so that it doesn't look like marketing. And, you know, I'll give you a quick example. I mean, now, just this morning, I was working with a chiropractor client, and he's running an ad next week in a local newspaper, and we're basically taking the advertorial format. So we're taking his ad, and we're making it look like an article in the paper, because
I love those ads. Absolutely. Yes. I like, every time I see them in the newspaper, I swipe them because they are just so awesome. So keep going.
Yeah, because, you know, what gets read more in a newspaper, the articles or the ads? Do people open
exactly.
up the newspaper because they want to read the ads? Heck no. You know, they're looking for articles. So if you make your marketing, in this case, make it look like an article, just naturally gets you to get more eyes. And you're
exactly.
going to get a greater readership. And so you're at least putting the odds into your favor that people are going to take some kind of action just because you have more eyeballs on it. And it doesn't cost you anything more. I mean, you can run an ad that looks like a traditional ad and get a small slice of the readership pie. Or you can have this, you know, this ad that looks like an article. And you know, it's not that you're trying to trick people. It's that you're taking the position, well, hey, you know, I know as from a reader perspective that you read the articles because you're getting knowledge. Well, I'm doing the same thing with my ads here. I'm going to give you knowledge in this article. And yes, it may be an ad, but hey, there's nothing, you're not trying to trick people or anything.
Correct.
And if the information that you have in your ad is truly valuable, people are going to appreciate it. They're going to read it. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I'm with you there. All right, we're going to switch gears here, and there's two more points that I want to just kind of briefly talk about before we close up this interview and you're able to share with people kind of where, how they could reach you and get in touch with you. But before that, I want to bring up the whole concept of the tactic. I actually, again, saw this morning as I was going through kind of what I wanted to talk with you about today. The use of the word time in your marketing messages. When I went over that section this morning briefly, I'm like, definitely want to bring that up because that really hit home for me, because you immediately relate to, oh, that's so right. But I think what's great about your book as I kept reading it is like, Oh, that's right. Oh, just totally forgot about that. Oh, that's right. I'm not doing this that I should be doing. And it's just like a great reminder for, you know, any business owner or marketer to read. And, you know, one of those tactics was integrating that word time into the messages. And I'd really love for you to kind of briefly expand upon that, of why using that word in your marketing is so powerful.
Sure. Well, I mean, I have to give credit where credit is due. And that was a tip that I picked out of Martin Lindstrom's book, Brandwashed. And
yep.
He brought that up in talking about nostalgia. And, you know, people were always thinking back to the good old days. And, you know, thinking about, you know, maybe it was like growing up or things that you did with friends. And, you know, one of the points that he brought up with like nostalgia is you think about like music, for instance. Back, you know, you're likely listening to the same music now that you listened to while you were growing up because you have such fond memories of it. And when you start mentioning time, people are naturally going to think, well, you know, time is limited. I mean, and you just, it's a way just to remind people that, you know, you, it reminds them that, you know, there has to be something where, you know, maybe you didn't take advantage of an opportunity that you should have, or there are things where you had better times, and you know, you have to take action. And just mentioning the word time, it just helps people realize that, hey, you know, there's a natural deadline. You may make the deadline yourself, or in a marketing piece, you may have that deadline incorporated. But the key thing, the key point here is that you don't want people to wait to take action, and anything that you can do, whether that be mentioning a time frame or mentioning time by itself, you know, it's going to help people take a faster action on what it is that they're reading. Also, you know, kind of tying in with time and the nostalgia is it starts getting people to visualize situations, because you have to think about with words, when people are reading words, it's not that they're remembering words. Each word that they read, they're creating a mental movie. And so you start incorporating time elements and nostalgia, that kind of stuff. Well, then you're creating these images in prospects' minds that that they remember, that triggers their memory. And so it gives a way that you can then tie in your marketing message with those memories and help make it more memorable. So,
absolutely.
I mean, yep. It's a... You know, it's a great tool. I mean, it's not as simple as just putting in the word time, although, you know, in
no.
the chapter I did mention that, you know, it is, I think I probably made it seem too more simple than what it really is. But the idea is just getting your prospects to create these mental images, think about, you know, their lives and how they're living their lives, and hopefully that helps get them to take action quicker than they would have done prior to reading your marketing piece.
Absolutely, and it's funny because it's like as I was reading that, I'm thinking to myself, God, just the headline, isn't it about time that fill in the blank? I mean, any business could use that kind of headline framework and integrate it. But then also, as I start thinking about it more, think back to the MasterCard commercials, you know, baseball game, $100, you know, trip to the car ride, you know, X dollars. I'm totally blanking on the different points, but like that message in and of itself of like times, good times, you know, great times with people that you love, and then like associating that to MasterCard can help create those. I mean, brilliantly done. And so that chapter was such an aha for me, which I'm sure is an aha for a lot of these listeners right now as they relate to it.
And it ties into emotions as well. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And emotions, and you know, we all know people make decisions for emotional reasons, purchasing decisions for emotional reasons, not logical. And so, you know, if you're tying into emotions, even better.
Absolutely. And kind of on that emotional note, for kind of this last tactic and point that I want to bring up before we have you share kind of how people can reach out to you, is using the words "you're not alone." Would love for you to kind of expand briefly on why that is such a powerful phrase that you can use in whether you're writing capture page copy or long form sales letter copy or just product marketing copy. Would love for you to kind of expand upon that before we close up.
Yeah, well, Scott, here's the thing. I mean, whenever you have some type of problem that you want to have solved, there's that natural thought process that, oh man, you know, I don't know if I want to ask people about this because, you know, I may be alone. It's that whole idea of, you know, even when you're a kid and you're sitting in a classroom and you have this question, but, you know, you're afraid to raise your hand and ask the question because you're like, what are people going to think of me? I'm probably the only one that has those questions. And I mean, you have those things all the time when you're a kid in school, and that doesn't change when you get older. You need to have that feeling that, you know, you aren't alone. And so just by simply putting those words into a piece that's helping people solve a problem that they have, you know, that just helps people feel better. It's like, okay, yes, I'm not alone. There are other people dealing with the same situation, and that immediately helps people feel better. It also, we've touched on this before, is, you know, that's a question that prospects have. In their mind, they're asking, well, I've got this situation I'm in. I wonder if I'm alone. And then in your copy, they read, well, hey, you're not alone. Oh, okay, so this person who's writing this copy, they understand. This business understands,
right,
or this company understands. And so, I mean, by simply using that, it just helps establish empathy, which is incredibly important in writing marketing copy. You have to help your readers understand that you know what it's like to walk in their shoes. Again, it goes back to the trust and credibility. You're building trust and you're building credibility. And if we look at this at a broad picture, that's not something that's done in most marketing that you see. That's the ego-based marketing. It's impossible to do that way because the message is all about you and your company and we're the greatest and all that kind of garbage. But yeah, you switch it over and you start truly thinking about your prospects and how you can help them. You know, there's that line in at the beginning of the book where I say, I got to find it here really quick because it's the whole idea of you can never go wrong in your marketing when you show compassion and a desire for helping people. I mean, that's the intro to the book. That's the last line that I end with because, I mean, if you do that, you truly aren't going to go wrong because people are going to view your message as not as marketing, instead as somebody that truly wants to help to prove that, hey, you're not alone in your situation. In fact, I understand. Here's some information to help you to take some instant action on that problem. And then what happens? You know, you immediately have somebody that, you know, you may not have met them before, but they understand that you're there for them and, you know, the information that you provide is going to help them. And what happens then, though, is, it ties into the two critical components in a marketing relationship, and that's the quality of information that you provide and the frequency of, you know, how often that you give that information to your prospects. Because you can't develop a marketing relationship by simply just pushing out one-sided messages whenever you want. It has to be on a consistent basis, and the information has to be quality stuff.
Absolutely. Well, this was an amazing interview, Tom. We shared a ton of value for everybody that's listening. And I'd really love to give you the opportunity to share with everybody, you know, how do they reach out to you? What's the website? Obviously, you wrote the book, The You Effect. You know, where can they find it? How can they reach out to you? Share some of that information with everyone.
Sure. I'll give you a couple of websites. The first website is rightwaysolutions.com, and that's WRITEWAY, and then the word solutions with an S at the end, .com. So rightwaysolutions.com, and that's my primary website. Essentially, it's a blog where, you know, at least once a week I'm posting information up there. There's about 250-260 articles, videos, interviews with other marketing experts on there, and basically it's a resource for people looking to improve their marketing copy and just giving them, just like in the books, giving them good, valuable information in short bursts that they can immediately use. So that's the first place. And then the website for The You Effect is theyoueffectbook.com. And if you go there, there's a trailer for the book, so you can see what the book is all about. Gives you a quick overview. You can also opt in there and get a free chapter if you'd like. And of course, then once you're on my list, well, then I communicate with that list on a consistent basis. Again, giving away just good, valuable articles, tips, strategies that people can use to enhance their marketing.
Absolutely. And what about like any social media profiles or Twitter handles?
Oh yeah, Twitter, twitter.com/TomTrush. Facebook.com/TomTrush. They can go to, you know, both of those. And, you know, I think, you know, with Facebook, it's more, you know, I guess, sharing articles, interacting. Twitter, I would say Twitter, I do more. I do post some articles and stuff on there, but I look at Twitter as another good tool for just interacting with other marketing people, interacting with prospects, clients. So if you know, people want to touch base and ask questions or anything, Facebook, Twitter are great places to do that.
Awesome. Well, Tom, I really appreciate your time today. This was really a fantastic interview. We shared a ton of value. And again, just so thank you for your, you know, time and attention. And I really hope that a lot of the users, listeners take time to go and check out your book and, you know, definitely go and buy it. I love it. So really thank you so much for your time, Tom, and we'll definitely be touching base soon.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott. Again, I really appreciate you letting me share my message, and I appreciate the time. Thanks a lot.
All right. Sounds good. See you later.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.